This is a man's world, but we won't quit. This is a man's world. She who dares wins.
Howdy, folks, and welcome to the She Who Dares Wins podcast. Today, my special guest is Brandy Goff, and she is an automotive technician from America. Welcome to the podcast, Brandy.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No worries. Firstly, whereabouts are you based?
So I'm in the Baltimore, Maryland area. It's East Coast, kind of by like New York and stuff like that.
Okay, cool. Cool. Well, I say this every single podcast, but I found you via Instagram as Mama Tired. And I was intrigued because your feed on your Instagram was just super cool. And then I spotted all the automotive stuff and I was like, okay, read the bio and was like, okay, I've got to get you on because kind of embody everything that this podcast is about. So for the listeners, if you don't mind, can you just tell us how you got into the world of automotive technician and cars, and how that all started from you, whether it started from a young age or an old age, just how did you get into it?
Yeah, so basically I didn't have a choice in being introduced into the automotive world. It was pretty much in my life as far back as I can remember. My father and my grandfather and his grandfather, whom I never met, but they were all major gearheads. And basically, you know, as far back as I can remember, I was in a garage or at a racetrack or anything like that, you know. And it was just always so intriguing to me to see my grandfather and father just kind of like toiling away on their latest project and doing cool stuff. And, you know, I was always pretending to be racing in the front seat and things like that. And, you know, it just kind of like developed into like a love and appreciation for nostalgic cars and hot rods. And, you know, just stuff like that. So basically, I got older, and as every teenage girl does, she kind of just focuses on boys and dances and things of that nature. And I kind of strayed away from that for a little while. But as I got older, you know, around age 20, I believe, I started, you know, having to like sit down and really think about what I wanted to do for the rest of my life as a career. And, you know, I ping-ponged back and forth with a couple of different things, you know, when I was younger. And my high school years, I wanted to be a fashion designer. And then when I got out of high school, I did a little bit of veterinary technician work, which I really enjoyed, but nothing really like stuck with me as much as cars and the car world did, just because it was so ingrained in me in such a young age. So I made the decision to start going to my local community college classes for the automotive service education program. And when I told my dad that, he basically flipped. He was like, "No way, you're not doing this. I'm going to stop you from doing this just because I know how difficult it is, not just as a woman, but as just a person. It's a really tough gig. It's really cutthroat. There's a lot of politics. And, you know, some days, I even remember this, you know, like it was yesterday. He said, you'll get so mad when you're in the middle of fixing a car that you'll actually want to spit on it. And I'm like, oh no, I won't do that. And I definitely have, you know, after doing it for 7 years, I have actually, I think maybe actually might have spit on one physically once. So that, you know, he was right. But I, you know, I was stubborn and hard-headed, and, you know, I knew what I wanted to do. And kind of, you know, just the inner, you know, teenage-ish girl in me was like, oh, he's telling me not to do it. Now I want to do it even more.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I went to school and did that and finished, well, I almost finished it. there was actually an unexpected death. My instructor passed away unexpectedly. So there was a really big hiccup in the program in finishing that. And I just decided to continue on with my mentoring program, the apprenticeship program through the dealership that I was working at, which I'm actually at today. So not short at all, but that's my spiel on how I came to where I am now.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. It's quite common that I interview women and they've kind of followed in their father's footsteps, and it's really nice. And like you say, it sounds like since a young age, it was kind of like you're destined to go that route. And interestingly, when you went to college and your dad was kind of like trying to put you off and stuff, do you think that was because he was worried about you getting into like a male dominated industry, or would you think he was just kind of testing you to make sure you really wanted it?
Oh, absolutely. The first things he said was, I know you can do it. I know you're strong enough, but I've seen the way these men behave and towards each other, let alone a woman.
Right.
And it really scares me that you will be in that type of environment. He knows that I'm a scrappy one and that I'll stand up for myself, but you know, he was right. There has been a lot of hurdles that I've had to overcome as a female in this industry. Just, you know, it's difficult, but it makes it all the more worth it. So in my opinion, like, you know, I would definitely recommend it for anybody, that any woman, any girl that wants to do it, I say do it and just screw what everybody else says.
Yeah, it's a common theme. Most people I speak to, it's every trade is incredibly hard because of the culture and the atmosphere that you're in. But everyone that I speak to wouldn't change it for the world. It's a real common theme. Yeah, you kind of just got to go for it. But going back to those experiences that are hard, I read one little story on one of your posts about how you started at a dealership and then things kind of went wrong just because of the attitudes of the guy that was running it. Can you just explain to us what happened there?
Yeah, so I was at a pretty large, widely known dealership and started there as an apprenticeship program. The whole premise of this program is taking raw, quote-unquote, green students that want to learn how to work on cars and teach them the game, teach them how to work on cars, teach them everything. So I was there for, I think it was about 3 months' time, and, you know, I gave it my all and, you know, definitely didn't slack or, you know, it's still to this day, I'm still confused as to what happened, but because I worked hard and I showed every last bit of initiative that I had in me. So I ended up being told after that 3 month period that they were going to not let me go, but they wanted me to come back in a year's time because I was too green for the program, which again is the entire premise of the program. That's the entire point of it. So I was really confused and really down on myself. That was like probably one of the hardest days that I've had in a really long time, just because I felt so defeated. And just because I had really had put my entire self into proving, and not just to myself, but to my coworkers, that I could do it. And when I was told that, it was just, you know, it was just a real blow to my confidence and to my spirit. So, I was confused, but I moved on. I told myself, I'm not going to let this, you know, define me, and I'm just going to keep going. So I found another, job at, again, the dealership that I'm at now, which, is great. And, later on, you know, just because we were the dealership that I'm at now and the other dealership are so close in proximity, you know, you kind of like intermingle with other mechanics and you kind of hear things, you know, there's so much gossip that goes around, even in a shop full of men. It's actually kind of crazy.
But,
yeah. So, I heard that, and you know, this was from somebody that was really close to my mentor, had said that he asked for me to be removed from him because he just did not want a girl as a helper anymore, that it was a distraction and this other. So I was just, you know, that just made me angry. And it made me more determined to just like shove it in their faces because, you know, that's just like the ultimate, you know, that's something that I knew was kind of going to happen. Like I had a feeling that I was going to run into people like that, but I didn't realize how much it was going to make me angry and put a fire under my butt. So now 7 years later, I almost appreciate it. I know that sounds so weird, but it's like, you know, yeah, I had to run into crappy people like that to be able to push myself to where I am now.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's so infuriating to hear, but it's so common. And the thing
really
that interests me, it's crazy, is the distraction. That is also common when people say, you know, having a female on site or on the tools is a distraction. I'm like, you know, we're...
Only if you make it a distraction.
Exactly, right. I'm sure these guys have, you know, wives and girlfriends and daughters and... Are they distracted by them? It's crazy, isn't it, that they have to go into this mode of like Neanderthal, like every guy is going to fall over everything because there's a woman in the shop. It's absurd. And it is, I think, really a poor cop-out.
And it's even worse to essentially blame the female or, you know, blame that woman that's trying to better herself and do something for herself to, you're the distraction.
Yeah.
The distraction lies within the men that make it a distraction. They, if they were one, properly trained for sexual harassment and just generally, I mean, having common sense that, you know, if there's a female in your area, you don't just automatically turn into a caveman, you know, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, just, you know, have common decency and common sense. And the fact that those men lack that, and then the woman is in turn blamed for being a distraction is baffling.
It is pure madness, isn't it? It's and like you say, I think when you experience these people or these situations, when you move on and you find the right fit, it becomes apparent that actually, you know, you can succeed, you know, moving on from what I hope will be, even though it might possibly be a majority at the moment, will be a minority in the future. And so you found that perfect fit, I guess, where you are now.
I did. Yeah. I, you know, there have been little road bumps here and there, but you know, that's kind of comes with the gig, you know, you just have to, you know, try and deal with it, the problems as they come, and try and fix them as best as you can without causing too many waves. You know, it's a really fine line you have to walk as a female in a male-dominant industry because, unfortunately, if you stand up for yourself too much or become too outspoken, then you are a bitch or you are a, you know, whatever word they decide to choose that day. And if you're too... if you're too quiet and if you don't stand up for yourself enough, then you're a doormat. So it's really, really tough to find that fine line. But thankfully I've had a lot of really supportive role models and, you know, just coworkers at this job now. And I've been finding that a lot. So I've been talking to a lot of people, a lot of women in trades through Instagram and other platforms. And I've been noticing, and it's really great to say because while I'm always ready to put up a fight and to, you know, make sure that women are properly represented and taken care of in these types of workplaces, I have been noticing that there has been a lot of support recently coming from men and management and, you know, just everything in these industries have been so much more open and receptive and supportive to females. So I feel like it's a really good first step And, you know, it's just, it's really good to see. And it makes me happy to see that more women are dealing with, less women are dealing with these types of discriminations and stuff like that than, you know, 7-8 years ago. So,
yeah. And I think as things start to change, I mean, they have to change for the next generation to come through. It's just so difficult, isn't it? And to change the numbers. Mm-hmm. We have more women representing us, because I firmly believe the more women you've got in, you know, on site or in a trade or in a shop, then the kind of behaviours that have existed will not be allowed to exist because they've been pushed out in other industries where it is more balanced. So it has to happen, and it is good to see.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, there's a lot of girls that are coming in that are super positive. And my concern is that they lose that if they're not strong enough to see through a kind of, guess what, you and I have both been through. But I think, like you say, there is a lot of support out there. And that's the one thing that I kind of champion on Instagram is you can find someone who is a role model. You know, and when things get bad, you can discuss things with that person or learn from their stories. And that's really the reason why I started She Who Dares Wins is the story sharing. Because for me, when I started out, there was no one. And it just felt so lonely. And now there's just so many women to connect with all over the world. That it's great. It's a great little community. And I think we'll just see more and more girls coming through.
Yeah. Also, it's such a great feeling.
Yeah, but the passion, the one thing that gets me is everyone that I speak to, they're so passionate. Putting aside, like, I mean, I've heard some shit. I've heard some real shitty stories.
I bet.
Yeah, and personally been through some real shitty stories, you know. But the one thing that always comes through is the passion, and that, you know, they'll never give up on it, and they enjoy going to work and enjoy carrying on, and that is incredible. And it's something.
Yeah, and if you don't have the passion, then honestly, in my opinion, if you don't have the passion, then you're not going to survive, because that's the only thing, and I'm sure you can agree, is the only thing that will keep you going some days.
Right.
There have been some days where I've thrown my hands up in the air and I've said, I'm done. I can't do this anymore, you know, and I'm crying in my car. You know, my husband's walking into the bathroom to use the bathroom and I'm crying on the toilet seat in the dark. Yeah. And he's like, what's wrong with you? It's like, I'm a mechanic. That's what's wrong with me. But yeah, it's really a tough, tough thing. And the only thing that gets you through some days is like, you know what? I'm not going to let them get me down. I'm not going to do it. It's almost like a insane level of being stubborn. And I'm very good at that. Like, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm coming back tomorrow. You're going to see my face and that's it.
And that brings me nicely onto a question that I've got for you is what skills do you think, obviously there's skills with working with a car and knowing the technical side of things and the physical side of things, but personality wise there, you know, it does take a strong woman, but what skills do you think it needs to, for you to thrive in your industry?
You need to have a good sense of humor, but also thick skin, when that needs to come hand in hand. So you need to know when to be able to take a joke, when it's appropriate. And, you know, sometimes it's going to be bordering on inappropriate and not appropriate because men are great. They're lovely people, but sometimes it could be a little bit dumb. And they don't really realize what they're saying and how it impacts women. They think it's just a harmless joke or, you know, that they're just fooling around. It's just banter. But it's so not. And, you know, you just have to be able to laugh when you're okay with it and know that when it's not, to speak up. And to also not let it affect you.
Yeah.
Because there's been so many different times where, you know, a really, you know, nasty comment or backhanded compliment or things like that have come my way. And I could feel it inside of me that I was either about to cry or scream. And I had to just take a beat and say, you know what, just toughen that skin up, girl, because it's going to happen for the rest of your life. Like, it's just going to.
Yeah.
So
it comes with age and experience. I think, you know, it takes a long time. And that's the one thing that I always want to say to anyone that's young, that's coming into any industry, is that, you know, it does take time to get that thick skin. You're not going to have it from the start. But like you said, if you, I think set boundaries is a common theme that I'm having a chat with a lot of these women on podcasts about, is knowing what boundaries you want to set and sticking to those boundaries. And
absolutely.
Yeah, it's really
And I
important.
Definitely want to like harp on the fact, and I want to make this very clear to any of like the listeners that you know, maybe starting out in the game or they're thinking about starting out. This is one thing that I've learned over the years, is I'm a very apologetic person, and I have a lot of, you know, sometimes a little too much. Mm-hmm. So the one thing that I have noticed in myself, and probably a lot of other women notice, is that when they do set those boundaries, men tend to kind of make you feel bad for it. Mm. You know, like if I say, hey, well, this is where my line is, don't cross it. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, oh, well, I'm really sorry about that. It was just a joke, this, that, and the other. And they'll kind of try to downplay it. And I find myself saying, oh, it's okay. You know, I know you were just kidding. Don't worry about it. Stuff like that. You're kind of taking a step backward.
Yeah.
So stand your ground and say, you know what? I appreciate you. Thank you for apologizing. You know, just because somebody apologizes doesn't mean you have to say it's okay, because it's not okay. You know what I mean? You can say just thank you. So say thank you for, you know, coming and apologizing to me, but that's a line that I do not want you to cross again. And more often than not, I've noticed that they don't cross it. When I've said, oh, it's okay, or I joke around back with them and, you know, try and lighten the mood, make it a little less awkward, or, you know, I don't want to make somebody feel bad. Okay. That's when they think, oh, they're okay. They're okay with this. I'm going to do it again. So.
And doing it, like, I found that you've got to do it early on. So it's kind of too hard once you've gone down the line with a group of guys or one particular guy, where they've pushed the boundaries and you don't say something, and then you do say something and it's too late.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's one of the hardest things to do, because that apology, or like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize, they're then putting onus back on to you, aren't they? They're kind of saying, oh, like, I didn't realize. And then sometimes you think, oh, you think, oh, have I taken that too much?
Exactly. Am I the bitch now?
Yeah. And it's like the distraction thing.
Don't do that. Yeah. Don't do that. That's the number one rule. Don't do that. Don't let them make you feel bad for feeling uncomfortable for something. That's crazy. Just if you feel uncomfortable, then that's it. It's black and white.
Hi everyone, I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. This is just a little interruption. I want to say thank you so much for tuning in and supporting the podcast. And if you've got time, please head over to www.shewhodareswins.com. On there, you'll find lots of information about our guests, including the show notes, and also a lot of content that I've produced for YouTube, which hopefully can help either inspire or support you on your journey. So that's www.shewhodareswins.com. There's also a small range of merchandise on there, which if purchased helps to prop up this podcast and keep us inspiring and supporting women across the nation. So thank you so much, and let's get back to this great podcast.
Are you the only woman in the shop, or?
Yes, I am. We did have, so we have like a, we have a one shop that works on Buicks and GMCs, and then there's a shop like, I don't know, maybe 500 feet down from that shop that works on Subarus, and there was a girl mechanic there. She was a helper for a little bit. And when I saw her, I was like, yeah, like, this is awesome. Like, I got a little too hyped up, I think, because she was looking at me like, okay. But I was just like happy. I was like, yeah, I'm so happy to see another girl. And unfortunately, I mean, I don't know if she moved on to a different shop or what happened with that, but she's no longer with us. So I don't know what happened with that. I wish I would have known maybe to try and talk her out of it or something, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And so going back to the love of the job, you know, what is it that keeps you going every day? What do you love about you know, being a technician? What's the best things about the job?
So there's so many different things. I would say the top two, the two reasons that I like just love it the most would be, one is every day I go into that place, I learn something new every single day. And I find that really awesome, and it keeps me engaged and it keeps me on my toes, and I like that a lot in a job, just because the monotony of, you know, sitting at a desk or looking at a screen all day long just like is my definition of a worst nightmare. So I like to be challenged every day, and sometimes it's scary as shit. Sometimes I'm like, oh my God, what have I done? You know, like there's these, some of these fixes, you know, where I'm like pushing myself to do new things that I've never done before. I think anybody, female or male, would agree that it's extremely nerve-wracking. It's extremely scary, because if you do one thing wrong, you know, you're potentially, you know, looking at a huge repair or a lot of money out of the customer's pocket, which obviously we don't want. So I don't know why, but I've come to love that feeling of being scared. Does that sound weird?
No, that's good.
Yeah, I like to go in and be like, oh man, what am I going to do today? You know, like, you know, it's scary, but it's good. And I like it. And then the second would be, and this is just, you know, just because I am the person that I am, I love breaking that glass ceiling. I like pushing myself and pushing the boundaries of being a female in a male in a male's world, basically. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I'm doing something with my life. It makes me feel like I'm not just, you know, adhering to the social norms of a woman working at a pink collar job or, you know, sitting in front of a desk or doing childcare. And not that I'm knocking any of that at all. I think that those are wonderful jobs and not everybody's cut out for it. You know, everybody's different, but, I just love the feeling that I go into work every day knowing that I could do something cool and something that like my daughter would be proud of. So yeah, those are definitely the top two for me.
And also being part of, like, this is one thing that I say to anyone young coming in as well, is you're part of history because you're paving the way for others to come through. And that is exciting and it does push you on. Because think so many times, like, I could have quit and I was like, I can't quit, because if I quit, how am I going to tell her to join me if I quit?
Exactly.
It's interesting how it kind of spurs you on. And like you say,
it's almost selfish, you know? It's like, I don't want to stop being a badass.
Yeah, and that thing that you do, you want to prove that you can do it, and there's no Absolutely. Greater sense of accomplishment than when you do, because it's like you've done it against all odds.
Yeah, and I want to be able to tell my daughter 10 years from now, like, you know how many times I wanted to just quit?
Yeah.
When I was getting sexually harassed and I was beating myself up, you know, bloody and blue and this, that, and the other, and I didn't. And, you know, like, this is, I want to set an example for her. If she wants to do something that might not be exactly the normal thing to do, you should do it, because I did it and I love it.
Yeah. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what keeps you going and is inspiring for so many generations to come. I'm really excited to see, to see what happens. And the only thing that I kind of hope will happen is that a lot of the women that I speak to, similar to yourself, have followed in the footsteps of parents or grandparents and been inspired that way. But I always find it interesting, you know, what if there's a girl out there who's got two parents who are a teacher, or, you know, I spoke to a guest last week who is a stonemason, and her parents were very much in education, and it was kind of like you go to university and you do this, and she followed that route. And then just out of the blue found working with stone and thought, that sounds really interesting. I'm really interested in history, really interested in working with tools. And then just found her dream job. And there's going to be so many girls out there that are into cars, you know, and are interested in that route. You know, they might have brothers that are tinkering around with stuff, but they just don't pursue it because...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because there's no one there to kind of support them. Yes, there's people on social media, but there's perhaps a family member who's like outright, no, you're not doing that. How do you think we tackle that? I mean, it's a big question, but...
I mean, well, first I'd like to say that girl is super awesome that she, because basically what she did was like, she was told to take one path passively, but you know, basically,
yeah.
You know, this is what we do. And you know, if you want to do it too here, you know, here's your chance. Yeah. But she stopped that. She broke that, you know, that line of, you know, I'm sorry, what were they? They were teachers?
Yeah. Everyone had been in education. Yeah.
So she had the easy, essentially the easy way out. She could have done that and, you know, it would have been fine, but she had this little scratching in the back of her head. You know, I like this. I want to do this. I want to check this out more. And instead of going the easy way, she took the hard way, yeah. Especially with, you know, not having any type of support from her family. It's really scary to start something that you have absolutely no clue how to do it. Where do you start? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have no one to guide you, like you said. You have nobody to kind of pave the way and give you those building blocks to learn that. And that, honestly, in my opinion, is just like really, really cool to be able to say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this. And even though I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing, I'm going to learn. I'm going to push myself and I'm going to do it. So that's a really good first step. And I think that's really, really cool. But yeah, I think that you just got to, as cheesy as it sounds, just like listen to your heart. Like, you know, my father actually came from my grandmother and my grandfather, who was also a gearhead, were teachers, and his sister is a teacher. So, you know, he could have been a teacher. I think he actually went to school for a little while to be a teacher, quickly realized this isn't for me, and then moved on with the mechanic, job. Right. So, you know, it's, you just have to listen to your head and your heart. And this is a career that you're going to be doing for 40-ish years, so you better like it. otherwise, you're going to be not a very happy person. So you're right. That is a really hard, tough question, and one day we'll figure it out. But you know, yeah. As of right now, we just gotta follow what we feel is right and listen to, you know, our inner monologues. And if we're like, yeah, I really don't want to be a teacher, or I really don't want to be a nurse, or I really don't want to, you know, sit at a desk all day. I want to get dirty. I want to be out in the sun all day. I want to make something. I don't make something out of nothing. Then you got to just do it.
Yeah.
And just be unapologetic about it.
And having folks like yourself helps massively, because, you know, the extension of what you're doing is going to impact not only your daughter, but then like your daughter's friends. And then, you know, young boys as well as girls, they see a female mechanic and they grow up thinking that that's not anything unusual.
That's definitely a goal.
Yeah.
It's definitely a goal of mine. And once that happens, you know, my life will pretty much be made. So as long as she knows at the end of the day, when she gets older and she starts questioning things, and, you know, she'll be like, well, you know, my mom's a mechanic. So, you know, if I want to go, you know, work in construction, like, why not? You know, exactly. most girls, when they start out, I mean, at least, you know, as far as I back as I can remember, as including my generation, when we start, they started working at, you know, 14, 15, 16, they do babysitting jobs, or they're receptionists, or they're cashiers, or this, that, and the other. Like, why not go do some construction work? Or why not go do, you know, like, you don't have to do those jobs just because you see your friends or other people do them. So if I even give her that little bit of ideas in her head to where she's like, oh yeah, like, I could do anything I want and not think anything of it, then, like, mission accomplished.
Yeah. Yeah. We fought a battle that's, yeah, been long standing. I mean, yes, it's incredible. And you've come up with so many words of wisdom there that I think so many people will take away from this podcast, both in helping people follow their passion, but also what I like to do on this podcast is share the good, the bad, and the ugly. And you know, you've explained that times do get hard and it just makes you stronger. And if the passion's there, you've got to carry on. What's in the future for you? What do you see yourself doing, and where's next for you?
So, just basically, you know, chugging along with, you know, I've been doing this for 7 years, but I still have so much to learn.
Right.
And I probably will never stop learning. There have been, people that I know in my, just my shop alone that are some of the most talented, smart mechanics I've ever met. And they still learn something new every single day. So, you know, I still got a long way to go before I'm anywhere near, you know what I mean? So just, I got to keep chugging along, got to keep learning, got to keep pushing myself. But you know, for me, honestly, besides the whole work aspect of it, my like goal and mission is to kind of go on podcasts like these where, you know, I can kind of give a voice to these women in these industries and also inspire and give, you know, that boost of confidence that pretty much every woman or girl that's starting out needs to hear. Yeah. To start, you know, paving the way, you know, just if you want to be a mechanic, do it. If you want to be in a trade, do it. So that's definitely a goal. And I hope to be on more. And I do appreciate you letting me come on this one. Cause you know, I really like the message that you are trying to portray here. And I feel like you're accomplishing that very well. So thank you.
Oh no, it's an absolute pleasure. Like I say, whenever anyone comes on, it's just so great to hear stories and connect with people. And it inspires me, you know, I'm in construction, but I always want to, whenever I finish a podcast, I want to go on a trade and do something else. Cause I'm like, oh man, that sounds interesting. So if you've inspired yeah. me, you've definitely inspired, you know, anyone out there that's even got a slight grain of thought of going into the industry.
Thank you very much. That's all I'm trying to do. I just yeah. want to make sure that girls know you are supported. If that's what you want to do, we're here for you. And honestly, I wish there were podcasts like these and, you know, just like platforms like Instagram, where there's so many gearhead girls and stuff like that, that I could have, you know, talked to and picked the brain of, you know, when I was first started out. So, you know, just having this type of support and common ground where like women and girls can come together and kind of talk about, oh man, I had a really hard day. I had dealt with this. What do you think I should do? Or, you know, just, you know, vibing off each other. I think that's super, super cool. And we need so much more of it. We need more support in this industry. You know, just women need to bring each other up and not push each other down, especially yeah, when we're all in it together.
Yeah.
In this type of industry. So,
yeah. I always say it's too hard of a thing to go through to do be pushed down by another woman. And if you ever come across, you know, another woman who is kind of like, well, you know, I've got here because of X, Y, Z, and you've got to prove yourself. I'm like, no, that needs to change in the future. Like you say, we need to be putting the hand down for the next generation to be pulling them up, because it's yes. too difficult to be pushing each other down. We just, it's never going to work. And I think, you know, I've as yet not found anyone on social media that is doing that. It seems everything seems uber positive because I think we can all relate to each other and we know how hard it
yes.
is.
It's so refreshing. And like I said, I wish I would have had this type of support system when I first started out. And I'm just so glad that, you know, the women that want to start in these types of industries have this support. And it yeah. just makes me feel so good. And I'm just like, so glad to like, share it and spread it. And, you know, just make sure that everybody that wants, that needs to hear it can hear it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And you're doing that like in an awesome way. Like your Instagram feed is very creative as well. Which is
Thank
cool
you.
To see. Yeah, no, it's nice. It's, I love the photographs and the passion really shone through, and yeah, you tell everything as it is. And like I said, I think that really resonate with people. So yeah, I mean, I just want to say thank you so much. Like it's been incredible speaking to you. You've inspired me. You're helping others along the way. And yeah, please keep doing what you're doing, as I'm sure you will. And thank you so much for giving me your time today.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate you bringing me on and letting me blather on for...
No. It's been amazing. No, it's been incredible, Brandy. And I really do appreciate it. And I will
and
put a link
you.
Down.
I really appreciate... Oh, sorry.
No, I really appreciate...
your podcast, honestly, like I cannot say it enough. I really appreciate you, you know, taking the time and taking, you know, all of these women's stories and putting them together for these people to hear. So that's a really cool thing. And it's, you know, if I didn't hate the sound of my voice so much, maybe I'd try it too, but you know, seriously, it is so awesome what you're doing. And, you know, it's, you should just be so proud that you are doing something to make a difference in these women's lives. So I appreciate that.
No, it means a lot. It really does mean a lot to hear that. Appreciate it. And I'm going to, for every listener out there, I'm going to put down a link in the description to your Instagram and any other socials that you've got. And yeah, thank you so much for coming on the She Dares Wins podcast. And hope you have a wonderful rest of the day.
You too. Thank you.
All right, Brandy. Take care. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into the podcast this week. It gives me no greater pleasure than to share these ladies' inspiring stories with you all. If you wanted to and can afford to support this podcast, you can do so for less than the price of a coffee. What? Yeah, I know. That cheaply. On our Patreon account. Link given in the show notes. As well as supporting the podcast, you can also get exclusive content from me, including videos, blog updates, exclusive discounts for the She Who Dares Win shop, and so much more. But as always, just having you here listening in gives me the greatest pleasure of all. Don't forget, you can also leave me a voice message and I will get back to you right through the podcast. If you have a spare minute and you can review the podcast, I will be entirely grateful too. I wish you all a very good day and I hope to see you all soon. Bye.